It was a day like this many, many years ago when in a room the Spirit of Christ fell on people and it radically transformed how Christians did Christianity. And so God is so very capable through the Holy Spirit of being able to exalt a day he considers absolutely brilliant and holy. And he also can exalt a group of people we know as mothers and women. And so we have chosen from this group of wonderful, wonderful people, we have chosen two women who are mothers and who are filled with the Holy Spirit to share their journey with you. The natural inclination might be to think, well, I'm a guy. What's it got to do with me? It has everything to do with all of us in here. So I would encourage you to listen attentively as they share. Open your hearts to have Christ shape and mold you in ways he's not done. And then go from this place later and love the world as Christ loves us. So at this time, I would really like to ask Sarah and Heather Clark and Sarah Crawford to come forward. They're going to share their journeys. I'd like to pray with you both first before you start. Join me if you would, okay? Lord, there's lots of mothers in our world today. But Lord, there's not lots of mothers who are filled with your Holy Spirit, who seek to raise their children in the ways of Christ. And so Lord, we thank you for this church full of people, full of women, Lord, who have hearts for you. May they continue each day to have a strong sense of your presence. Lord, may they desire to faithfully serve you. And for Heather and Sarah, we pray, Lord, that as they share your words to us, they would have a sense of peace, great joy, Lord, knowing that they are your representatives. So exalt yourself through them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A new little baby to hold real tight. A new little baby to keep mummy awake all night. Daddy just smiled and said with a grin, "Well, I guess here we go again." Two little boys running through the door. A baby in the crib and one crawling on the floor. Four little children, the oldest one four. We're rich in children, so we'll never be poor. Toys, blankets and diapers all over the place. We might be tired, but there's a smile on my face. "Go forth and multiply" was the first command in the good book. It might have said more, but I've been too busy to look. Well, life as a mum is really busy, but I love it. Motherhood has become much of who I am. It's part of my identity, and it's my major role in life. I do fail at it often and despair of it daily. But, especially to encourage any new mums out there, it really is the most joyous, most exciting, most challenging, most purpose-filled, time-consuming and sacrificial thing I've ever done. It is this area of my life that the Holy Spirit has come to use the most. I've known the struggle of career versus family. My career was consuming more and more time. And with the time I needed to spend with my three beautiful children God had given me, it meant that my career wasn't worth pursuing. This by no means means that's true for all mums, I hasten to add, but it is part of my story. It's not been easy. It's cost me much, many tears, much confusion and heartache. But this only leads me ultimately to the cross and teaches that my life is not my own anyway. A lesson in crucifying self and living for Christ alone is so naturally and wonderfully taught in motherhood. The Holy Spirit continues to teach me through day-to-day life many truths about myself and about God. My children are so often a reflection of myself, and the Holy Spirit totally uses this to convict me and make me aware of areas I need to sort out. When your child starts to sound like a mini adult and displays the most amazing critical skills towards your husband, you know it's time to deal with that critical spirit in yourself. The Holy Spirit can so often speak to us through our children's mouths. When I was going through the first few years of motherhood, I often felt lost and alone and without real purpose, which is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about getting mums together and supporting each other and why I'm involved in Pop-In and Stalk Ministries. But anyway, on one of these occasions, there I was, tears streaming down my face, very upset. My sweet little daughter, only knee-high, came gently over to me and said, "Mummy, Jesus loves you." It melted my heart. They can bring you clearly to the knowledge of the truth. Days when I despair of my untidy, dirty house drag me down, but they can often be lifted right up by my kids. Angus, my youngest, when he was about 2, came and sat on my knee, having a nice cuddle, and suddenly I felt warm. Yes, he'd wet himself all over me and all over him. "Oh," I said in despair, "you are a grim child." Smiling and carefree, he looked up at me and chirped, "Don't worry, Mummy, I'm not worried." The Holy Spirit uses our motherhood to perfect us. The fruits of the Spirit have been vital to any success I've had in being a mum. The first fruit, of course, is love. You might think it's entirely natural to love our children, and I do desperately love them, but it isn't particularly natural sometimes to love them the right way at the right time. The Lord has challenged me, even in the last week, that when my children are being particularly difficult, instead of chastising them harshly, as I sometimes find myself doing, instead to take them, to love them carefully, gently and patiently. For this, I can rely solely on the Holy Spirit. Submitting to him, he empowers me to be someone I cannot be on my own. But this is always a struggle. Again, God is using my submission to him to allow me to be an effective parent and to show me that in every area of my life, I need to bend my knee to him. And that's true for us all. Accepting the role of motherhood with some trepidation, but being led by the Holy Spirit through a process of transformation has led me to feel a love and compassion for all women, especially mothers. Mothers need one another. We need each other's support. There are many, many amazing mums in this church, and I, even though I've only been here for 2 years, have learned so much, and I look forward to continuing to learn. And as a community, I just encourage us to continue this work for each other. We all have different styles and different skills of motherhood and parenting. But let's set the bar of excellence way high, but be slow to condemn and quick to condemn. Quick to love our fellow mums. Working hard at the ministry of considering others better than ourselves. We mothers beat ourselves up enough about our failures. So let's rejoice in each other's triumphs and help one another through difficulties. A dear lovely friend of mine back in England and a lovely mum with 4 little kids, gave me this verse about 4 years ago, Isaiah 40, verse 11. It says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart, and he will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." I am so grateful when I look back over the last 7 years of being a mum, of how he's gently led me. And so likewise, let's gently encourage one another.
Thank you, Sarah. I too am a mum, but my children are grown. I have two beautiful girls. And I'm going to be a grandma someday. Soon. Well, this year. Before Christmas. I was given the task to give my testimony of the person of the Holy Spirit in my life and how the Holy Spirit has affected me in my role as a woman. I'm convinced God the Holy Spirit is part of my heritage. My grandmother was a Salvation Army officer, a wonderful pianist, and she was a living testimony to God's love. I have no doubt the Holy Spirit resided in her. I know she prayed for her own children and her many grandchildren. And I'm thankful to the Holy Spirit and my grandmother's obedience to his voice. God is still answering my grandmother's prayers. But when I was a preteen, a Sunday school teacher revealed Jesus even more to me. I can remember very distinctly kneeling on the basement floor in the old Lethbridge Pentecostal Assemblies Church. The Sunday school teacher's name was Mrs. Ostring. I can picture her face to this day. She was another lady like Grandma who had surrendered herself to God the Holy Spirit. She led me through a sinner's prayer, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. I didn't understand it much as a preteen, but looking back, I believe there in the Pentecostal church, as this lady laid her hands on me and prayed with the power of the Holy Spirit, at my invitation, that same Spirit took up residence in me. I know I was more hungry for things of the Lord. I went home excited. I could hardly wait to share with my mom what had happened. And my mom was pleased. I had more motivation to read my Bible. I wanted to go to Sunday school. They didn't have trouble getting me up. I was probably more loving toward my brothers and sisters, at least for a little while. I did have times of emotional struggles and falling away from church attendance. And although I didn't think about it much as a teen or a young adult, God's presence never left me. He protected me and directed my friendships. And looking back in high school, I was drawn to friends who attended other churches and who taught Sunday schools in those churches. It took a while for me to go back to church, but I believe the Holy Spirit wooed me. There was a hunger and an unquenchable thirst within me that only God's Spirit could fill. And pretty soon, I didn't just attend church. I became involved in church life. I started teaching Sunday school. And I know in the preparation for Sunday school, I probably learned more than what I was able to teach my students. I sang in the church choir, and under Alan Mills, he taught me to worship. The Lord also brought Ron and I together as we both sang in that choir. We were married in 1979. Then in January of 1980, in the Central Church of Christ, by Pastor Bill, I was baptized. We had used that church because the church we were attending didn't have a baptismal tank. It was then I publicly declared before others, angels and demons, that I belonged to Jesus and I would follow him forever. A short time later, as a wife and young mother, came the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:19 tells us we need to be filled with the Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. People laid hands on me and prayed, and I know the Spirit delivered. And through the years, I've come to realize that I need to constantly be refilled with God's Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, at the end of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, it reads like this, if you read in the Message Bible. It says, "The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Now here I am, nearly 30 years later, and I'm still learning what it means to have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Some translations call it the communion of the Holy Spirit. The New International Version calls it fellowship of the Holy Spirit. A Christian author in his book, it was Benny Hinn actually, in the book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. He uses the analogy of a sailboat. And he says to think of the sails on the sailboat. When the sails are filled, the ship begins to move. The sails need to continually be filled with wind over and over again in order to move it forward. Well, through the years, I've realized that sometimes my sails need to be mended. And the masts need repairing. And the vessel gets holes in it. And the Holy Spirit leaks out, or the sails can't receive the wind of the Spirit. The sails can't be too tight or strained. They have to be flexible and yielded to be filled with the wind. And I found it's the same with me. I haven't always been yielded over those 30 years, and I haven't always been totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit. But I'm learning more that it's like the marriage relationship. For marriage to be all it's intended to be, the partners must commune with each other. They must be in each other's presence. They must have fellowship with one another. They must share together, share their hearts, share their hurts, share their joys. They participate together in a partnership. They pour out their love together. There's an intimacy. God poured out his love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I can't love God without the Holy Spirit. I say to you that the Holy Spirit is my absolute best friend. Number one. My husband comes next. My children next. He is someone I share my deepest secrets with. He is a loving and friendly commander or captain or head of this relationship. I cannot be in touch with God the Father or God the Son without God the Holy Spirit. By God's Spirit, I glorify Jesus. He gives me a heart of thanksgiving. He empowers me to forgive others. He enables me to love God and to serve others. Now, as a wife and a mother, and when I'm a grandmother, I know my heart's desire will be the same. And I will continue to pray. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Over all of my family. And I pray it over you now. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of God the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
So folks, we are going to continue to enjoy this sacred day of celebration, and at the very end of the service after the baptisms, we are going to distribute flowers to all the ladies in our congregation. And just prior to doing that, I'm going to have Pastor Todd come and share with you just a few thoughts. Thank you.
I'm not going to share at all, it sounds like. Am I on now? All right. Aren't they rich? And beautiful and sincere and wonderful. Want to just take a moment. Thank you for cards and phone calls and meals and numbers of nice things that have been dropped off at the house this week following the birth of our son last Sunday, Aiden. For the ladies, you're going to want to know that he was 8 pounds, 14 ounces, just to make you go, ow. And it was great. So it was 5:14 last Sunday afternoon, and it's been a good week. I took the week off mostly to try to help Sherry out a little bit, and particularly to spend a little bit of time with Callum, who's 3 years old, and he's feeling a little bit displaced. Some of the stories that Sarah told reminded me of moments of even this week. I don't know, he's just at that age where, of course, we're taking him out into public more, and some of the things that are little in-house games and in-house conversations, he's starting to take them out of house. And that's presenting its challenges. I took him swimming one morning this week. That's what he wanted to do. I trying to convince him that when a baby comes along, it's not a demotion, it's a promotion, because you get to do big boy things now. So each day I tried to find something to do with him like that. So we went swimming, and then when we'd finished this, we were in the change room, only us and one quite elderly man. And Callum begins to waggle his finger at that man, and he says, "You get that bare bottom out of here." So the man didn't register the message, probably hoping it would go away, and so he has to announce it all the louder. "You get that bottom out of here." So we're at a new phase of trying to teach that some of the things said and done at home shouldn't be done at the swimming pool. Want to underscore the Global Day of Prayer is coming up this afternoon. I guess it'll be this evening at 6 till 7. I really want to say how important that is to us as a church. You know, our relationship with other churches in the city, the fact that we love them, we're committed to their success, we're committed to their health, we're committed to praying with them for the inbreak of the kingdom of God into our city, which is what revival is. And so if that's a priority to us, we have to find ways of showing that it's a priority, of truly prioritizing it. And so I don't kind of speak this way on everything that happens in the city and think that everything has equal significance. I just try to choose sparingly. But this is one a year that I think is really important for the churches to gather and to pray and seek God for our city and for them to do that in unity. So if you could at all make that possible, even if it's not normally your custom to go to interchurch things, this is one I'd like you to consider. It's short, it's 1 hour and 7 minutes long. Because last year went too long, they're trying to really restrict the time this year, and I think they'll probably do a good job of that. So if at all you can make that possible, I would just love to see a great turnout from our church so that people go, "Wow, River of Life people, they're into this. They really love the city. They love prayer. They love unity. They love the kingdom of God." And that we would say that by a representation. Thank you for releasing me to go last Sunday. I had just arrived to the church when I got phone calls from Sherry that contractions were getting stronger. And it's great to have people in the church that you can just hand everything over to. I said, "I gotta go, this only happens so many times in life." and I want to go be with my wife right now. But I heard it was a great Sunday. I've heard just such wonderful reports of the baptisms that happened there and the things that happened. Maybe just give you a little bit of a window behind the scenes. Prior to that service, we had two people who had planned on being baptized last Sunday. And I was so excited to prepare for their baptism because one of them in particular is very, I know more than the other, is very close to my heart. And yet the few days before the baptism, due to ill health or something, both candidates had to postpone their baptism. And they weren't going to be able to be baptized last Sunday for one reason or another. So I got a text from Marcia middle of the week saying, both candidates aren't going to be able to make the baptism this Sunday. What do we do? And so I deliberately didn't want to respond to her too quickly. So I just took a moment to pray and said, Lord, well, what do we do? And I began to reflect a little bit on the things that our Heavenly Father has been saying to us through His Word over these past months. I began to reflect on some of the things that He's been building anticipation and expectation in our hearts toward. And as I began to think about those things, that God, we're anticipating the kingdom of God advancing in Lethbridge through the church of God. That's you and me. As we are filled with, as we are yielded to, as we are led by, as we are empowered by the Spirit of God. And we've been looking at how that the Spirit of God is fully able to bring people to Christ, to harvest people to faith. As I began to think upon those things, I texted Marcia back and I just said, keep the water hot. I said, we don't have to have any names there, because when God speaks to us, whether it's individually or collectively, there has to be the sign in our heart that we get it. There has to be the evidences that we're on board. There has to be our way of saying we're in, we're bought into the things that we're saying. The things that He's building anticipation in our hearts, there has to be a way of saying we get it. And so I've always made that a practice in my Christian life. Whatever God, I've just felt, I just know that I've got to take some steps. And whatever happens then, if you think that God is leading you into a healing ministry, pray for every sick person you can find. Does it really matter if the first ones get healed or not? Of course it'd be nice. Who wouldn't want to see that? But ultimately, does it matter, or is it your obedience that matters? Is it your faith that matters? Is it the fact that you're showing God, I got it. I heard what you said and I'm following through on it. Follow through is such an important component of the Christian life. I've got families here. The Lord spoke to them about missions. They followed through. They did something about it. They made some phone calls. They bought a ticket. They went to another country. They raised some money. And still to this day, I'm looking at the Yonkees and so on. They have followed through with the Word of God in their lives. So we decided, keep the water hot. And as I had to leave the service, I said, Bill, just preach. Just preach the gospel. Preach to the baptism. And if nobody decided to come forward, guess what? It'd be good for our soul to build energy and follow through and continue to anticipate that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful to save people. And that we want to see it not just on Sunday mornings, we want to see it through the week and in our home groups and our places of work and school and all different types of places. And I want to continue in that vein very briefly this morning. I'm not continuing in that vein because last Sunday was so much fun, and it was. You know, I'd say if we have a Sunday and something kind of striking happens, I know that there's a feeling of, that was really cool, and that was very spontaneous, and we should do that all over again. But to do it only for that reason would be very contrary to our values. Imagine Jesus one day comes along, and it's so unusual. He heals someone through spitting in their eyes. Imagine the disciples saying, that's great. Let's have a whole series of spitting services. By about the sixth Sunday, it would lose its luster. It would lose its spontaneity. And you would now be relying on a methodology. You would think that the power was in the spitting instead of the hearing from God. instead of the obeying. Jesus, the secret to his ministry, says, I'm a son. I'm his only begotten son. I only do what I see my Father doing. So on any given day, he'd say, Father, give me eyes to see what you're doing today. Give me eyes what you're doing in this person's life. Give me eyes what you're doing in this town. And then he would minister out of that. He would minister according to that. He ministered as a devout son, absolutely head over heels, in love with his Holy Father, and in submission, in subordination to him. So whatever you tell me to do, Father, I'll do it. And thereby set an example for his church to follow and to do likewise. So that's what the Father showed us. That's what I want to do. I want to save people. So keep the water hot. And the Father did his wonderful work. I want to speak for just a few moments to those of you who only recently have become aware of God's activity in your life. It could be over the last year. It could be over the last months. It could be over the last days, but you have become aware that God is doing something in you. You don't yet have the words for that. It could be this morning. You could say, forget about the last months or the year. I have found myself here this morning for one reason or another, and something is happening in my heart. And I think it's God. God is active in me. So whether it's the last minutes or whether it's the last months, you are aware that God is targeting you. You are aware that God is active in your life and that he is active in such a way as to be producing faith in you. When God does things, when God is active in someone's life, what springs out of that is faith. And you just know you've got faith. And you didn't have it before, or you didn't have it in the same way, or you didn't have so much of it. But faith has sprung into your heart. Perhaps you don't even know exactly why you believe. There's no one thing you could point to that says, yeah, the reason I believe in Jesus now is because of this, or the reason I believe in God now is because of this one particular thing. You're not even sure why you believe. You just know you do. You're maybe not even sure exactly how you came to believe, how that has grown in your heart over the past days, weeks, or months. You just know that you do. You know, when you sometimes meet a new friend, someone who you've never met, in all of your life, how is it that trust grows between two people? How does that process work? How do you go from someone you've never met, and therefore there's no trust whatsoever? There's not lack of trust. There's not untrust or distrust. There's just no positive trust. How is it that after meeting certain people, and sometimes for a short period of time, you find trust in your heart for them? And if someone were to say, why do you trust them? What did they do? What one thing did they do to produce that trust in you or to earn that trust? You might not be able to point that one thing out. Well, it wasn't just one thing, it's something that they convey. It's just something about them. In other words, you have picked up that they are trustworthy. And they have been able to convey trustworthiness to you. And you have picked up something in their character, trustworthiness, and therefore your response to that is, I can trust a trustworthy person, a person that's worthy of my trust. And maybe you're here this morning and something about God's activity in your life, you have picked up that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. That he'll do what he says. That he's a man of his word. That if he says he loves you, he really does, and he doesn't make things up, and he's not fake, and he's not artificial, and he's not showy. He's the real deal. And somehow, he has managed to convey to you that he is trustworthy. And so trust has arisen in your heart, and you find yourself willing to put your trust in him. And again, that's all you can say. You don't even know what one thing he did that has earned that. I those of us that have known him for longer, we understand why you're beginning to trust him. Those of us that have known him for a little while longer, we understand why it is you are finding yourself believing in God and his son Jesus. I can tell you on the authority of the Bible, God's word, that the reason you're beginning to believe in God is because God has long believed in you. There's a man in the Old Testament, he's a prophet. And at a certain time of his life, he came to recognize that he was a prophet and he began to act like a prophet. But then God speaks to him on one day and says this to him. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before you were even a glimmer in your mother's eye, an embryo, I knew you. Before you knew me, before you knew anybody, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I had plans for you. I set you apart as something special to me. You were mine. It may have taken you many years to realize that, Jeremiah. And that's not just a message that God has for prophets. That's a message that he has for every one of you. So the reason you're beginning to believe in God is he has long believed in you. The reason you are beginning to say yes to God, to choose God, is only because he has long ago chosen you. And the reason you are beginning to love God is because he has long loved you. And for numbers of you here this morning, you've been growing in your faith. We've been just so delighted to have you become part of our congregation, whether this is the first Sunday or some of you have been here for the last number of months. And I know there's faith growing there. We've seen it. You become our friends. And some of you don't yet, haven't fully, devoted yourself to Jesus, but you're only this close. And so the question I want to ask this morning is that there is a moment in time where faith is solidified and it goes from being something very private to something public. And that moment in the Christian faith, we call baptism. It's like being engaged to somebody. And you can't be engaged forever. Okay? Eventually it'll become dissatisfying, so you have a level of commitment to that person. But eventually it's going to lead somewhere. It's going to lead to marriage, which is covenant. And people go through stages in their relationship with Jesus from their first encounters. You know, just first hearing about him, first sensing him, to realizing, wow, there's something special about him. Then to something that almost looks like, I'd like to get to know him better. Then it's something even further than that and like, wow, I think he's the one for me. But eventually it's got to lead somewhere, and baptism is the moment. It's like a marriage ceremony. You don't do it in private, or you may do it with a handful of people, but there's witnesses, and it's something that is done in public. And you know, when we get married, I'm sure many of us stand there, I don't have all my act together yet. I don't know if I'm the best person in the world to marry. Okay? And some people feel like that about baptism. They just feel like, I'd love to get baptized, which means a marriage between me and Jesus, a full laying down of my old life, and a giving over myself completely to a new life in him. I'd love to do that, but I feel so imperfect. But the problem is, if you keep holding baptism off, this is the place where he helps you die to your old self. People say, oh, my old life is, I'm not dead to yet, so I can't get baptized, but this is the very help you need. This is the very commitment where he can put to death the very things in your life that are keeping you from him and that you're struggling with. So as we close this morning, I just very simply want to open the baptismal tank again. Again, not because it was so cool last Sunday. Lord, save us from that mentality. A church of gimmicks. and theatrics. But because there are people who are here this morning that we love. And I've got to know you and you're priceless. Derek, you're priceless. There's others here, you're just, Cam, just priceless. And there's just others around, where's Aaron, priceless. And I want to ask, is this morning a morning where you'd like to say, I am willing, I know there's faith been in my heart, I can feel God is active in my life. There's faith been generated there, now it's time for me to totally abandon myself to Jesus. Die to my old life. You know, when you get married, the reason, one of the reasons I liken it to marriage is you actually, there's a death. You die to singleness. So if the day after marriage, you do all the things that you used to do when you were single, you miss the point. If the very next day, you think, honey, I'm off on a hunting trip. Okay, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because you just missed the whole point. You died to singleness. And it's when you don't die to singleness that your marriage will be in a whole lot of trouble. So you do things differently on the other side. You consult. And you talk. And you make decisions together. So this is where we don't die to our singleness. We die to our selfishness. Our life outside of Christ. We die to it. We lay it down. And say goodbye to it. And say, Jesus, I want to be in union with you. I want to be grafted to you. Like my heart, like a marriage. Here's my whole life. Except you're the head of this relationship. You're my head. Okay. And I want to come to you. So I'm not sure where my lovely assistants are. I did, I'm sorry. That's great. It's really hot? Good, it's usually really cold, so keep the water hot. Okay, and I just want to ask, you know, you think, I didn't bring clothes, who cares? We have a whole room of secondhand clothes. Okay? I understand that Ryan offered someone a pink ladies night thing. I won't do that to you. But you know what? Who cares? When you're making the most important decision of your life, like, what am I going to wear? Like, yeah, jeez. We'll find you something. Okay? It doesn't really matter. And so if you're here today and you just think God is targeting you these days, He's reaching out to you, you've realized He loves you, He's chosen you, you're His, and now you just need to fully say yes to Him. And all that that means, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, there is a death to self, and say, I'll lay down, I don't have to be perfect, but I do have to be willing to give it all up. Okay. All right? And if you come and say, Lord, even the very things that are injuring my life or keeping me from you, would you crucify those things? I need your power to put to death some of those struggles. Then why don't you come to the front right now, okay? Matt Waugh, you coming? All right. Is there already someone getting changed? Aaron's getting changed? I love this Matt Waugh. Man, has this guy ever grown. You have been part of this story. I didn't know Matt was going to do that today. Anybody else? It's your Sunday, Derek? Is it your Sunday? You think about it. I love you. I was so overjoyed to get your card this week. It meant a lot to me. Okay. So as they prepare, if God's tugging on your heart, then that's all any of us need. Okay, all I encourage you to do is just say yes to His tug on your, the tug of the gospel on your heart. It's a little warm. Okay. We now call it hot tubbing for Christ. Come on in. Okay. What is your name? Hi. We need just some of the ladies just to go with her and get her some clothes out of the back area. Great. Want to take her back? Pardon? I know, she's just going to go get some clothes. Oh, you want to get baptized too? Okay, I thought so. Funny, I saw in the service, I could see the Lord working in her. There's your daughter getting baptized today. That's lots of fun. All right. Matt, you want to tell us your story?
I don't really have a testimony written or anything like that, and I'm pretty nervous when it comes to public speaking, so here it goes. About 5 years ago, we started coming to River Life Church, mostly to keep my wife happy. Maybe 6 years now. It was a pretty special place, actually. Daniel came over to our house and asked me to make him a sandwich, and it was good. It really started speaking to me. I had grown up Catholic and just kind of knew the Lord, but not really. I'd seen some amazing things, but I didn't know how to describe them. And slowly, the Lord worked in me and eventually brought me to a place probably 2-3 years ago where I gave my life to Him and confessed it with my wife and done it repeatedly since. I don't know. And then I put off baptism for a long time after that, mostly because of coming up here and talking in front of everybody. And a lot of other reasons, a lot of what Todd said up front here about worrying about dying to an old life or anything like that. Lord has blessed me with a very big family, soon to be larger, 5 children, and I kind of felt the need that I need to do this. I've also had the Lord speaking in my life lately, and I don't know if I've been listening quite right. Sometimes as a young man you feel inequipped for things or worried or a little, like you don't have the right tooling to do what you need, but I don't know, I got a lot from the Old Testament, David's story, where he was a young man and he picked up some stones and he defeated an army, so I gotta have faith that the Lord will give me whatever I need to get through whatever He's doing in my life. So I gonna take a step in obedience here and give my life to Jesus again and in front of everybody, and here we go. I guess that's all I got to say.
You can turn it on. There you go. So Matt, do you confess in front of everyone that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And based on your testimony, I think we'll just baptize you, alright? So you can cross your arms like this. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Feels good. It's warm.
In true fashion, I forgot something. So let's pray for him just before we let him out of the tub. Father, we just commit Matt to you as he has stood before us and proclaimed his faith and reliance and trust in you, Lord. And Father, we ask just through this show of obedience to you that he would see the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, that the old life has been laid before you and is dead, and the new life lays before him in just every step that he takes, that he would find the victory and power of your resurrection. So we bless him together as a body today, Lord, and his family. In your name, amen.
This young man's name is Aaron, and I have journeyed with him for 3 months or so, and you can see these are a collection of his friends and family. I don't think that there's anything that Todd has discussed that Aaron has not been experiencing, and there is no one better to be able to talk about his journey over the last number of years than himself. And so I'm going to ask you just to be really attentive as he shares his journey with Christ.
You'll have to excuse me. I'm not a very good public speaker. My journey started about 8 months ago with Christ. There was drastic changes in my life. My life in which God, but I didn't know him. And it took a lot of very to learn that I couldn't live my life by myself. I needed him. I moved to Lethbridge at the beginning of September. By November, our family dynamics had changed. I was alone with my three boys. I spent 2 months in a very, very dark place. With the love for my boys being the only thing keeping me going. But it was too heavy for me to continue carrying on alone. I was looking at two paths that I could take. One being destruction, the other help. I chose help. And in that help, I found so much more. That simple phone call to the River of Life Church led me to a program called Divorce Care. In fact, when I first called the River of Life Church, I spoke to a lady named Marcia. Marcia told me that she would get a hold of the people at Divorce Care, and they would call me. Michelle called me an hour later and invited me. No, in fact, insisted I come over to her house that night. I did. I met Michelle and Alan Jacobs that night, and it was an instrumental part to my journey to meet Christ. Michelle, Alan, Frank, Deb, Carol, many others that I called at ridiculous hours of the night, not only helped me with my current circumstances at the time, but also showed me that prayer was the only thing that I could count on. The Lord listened to me and brought Brian Fuller into my life. Sorry. Brian taught me and showed me that Christ could be found in any aspect of my life. The Lord provided me with my first real best friend. And this friend taught me so much about Christ. In fact, Brian is a huge part of my life today. And Brian, I would just like to take this time to thank you very much for being there for me. And I love you very, very much. I can't even tell you what you've done for me or how you've impacted my life. And the biggest thing that I've learned from you is a soft heart when I could have very easily went to stone. I love you. The Lord had his hand on me as I began to heal. I didn't just think this, I felt his hands on my shoulders. Miraculously, life had a richness that I never felt before, ever in my life. The Lord has blessed me with three awesome children that I love very much. And you guys have been brave and strong. And I love you forever. Sorry, I'm not good at this. Just some people I would like to thank. First, Michelle, Alan, Frank, Carol, Deb. I love you guys very much. Thank you so much. Brian, and especially Shelley, for her patience with me. Taking her husband away. Thank you. I know. Jep, I don't know if he's around here. I would like to thank you for my boys, what you put into my boys, and showed them that there is God. Gary Stevenson, thank you for showing me that I can be a Christian and still have a sense of humor. Brett, John Murdoch. There's so many people. I'd like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Halton for being here today, and especially Mr. Halton for increasing my understanding on baptism yesterday. Thank you. I'd also like to thank Melisha, Nolan, Nathan, Aaron, and Alex, who have been a really big part of my life right now, helping me with day-to-day life, talking, praying. I love you guys very, very much. All of you guys. And that's all I have to say.
Thanks.
Aaron has had a real amazing, miraculous journey with Christ, and so I am extremely proud and honored to walk with him through life. I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, bud, and then we're going to pray for you, and we're going to baptize you. Like all of us, you start out recognizing you're wretched, and that what else can solve our sin problem but Christ, and I just would ask you, have you come to that place where you've recognized that there is no one, there is nothing else that can address that in our life, that can resolve that in our life?
Absolutely.
Is it your desire, Aaron, to walk with Christ every day, experiencing him in your conversations, in the things that you think, in how you live your life, that you want to honor him in your relationships and your job, everything you do?
Yes, I do.
Aaron, having said this, it's I know my delight, but it's God is thrilled that at this time he would welcome you into a new stage of your journey with him. And so we are going to baptize you in the name of the Lord. Aaron, in the name of the Father, Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, brother, we are going to baptize you.
If your family of his, I think you should hug him while he's wet because you're sharing it more. That's just my opinion. But, is there someone in the back or do we have, are they in there? Okay. Does somebody want to come out of there? Baptism service. Hey, it's you! I didn't know you were in there. That's a good surprise. Come into the hot tub. excited. Okay, I'll let you talk.
Okay. Well, I wasn't expecting to do this today. My name is Deanna Michelis. For those of you who don't know me, I started coming here back in February 2004, and just recently, last couple years, got involved with the worship team and the young adults in the last year. And I think I was just sitting there, and I think just God's been doing so much in me in the last year and a half that I can't ignore it anymore, and that even though I was baptized about 4 years ago, just so much has happened since then. I don't feel like I did that baptism justice, and I think God's just brought me to this place where I've just graduated university this semester, and that He now has a journey for me that I don't know yet, and I'm in this period of waiting, but I know that He is faithful, and I am trusting Him with everything in me. And I just want to declare today that everything that's happened is gone, and that now I am on a journey with Him, and I'm going to live with Him faithfully, trusting that He will guide me now.
I'm sorry. That last statement kind of answers the questions, I think. And but I want you to know I'm honored to be a part of this. Do you want your glasses on? Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't know why we keep forgetting to pray for people. I think it would come naturally, eh? All right. Father, I just lift Deanna up to You. And Lord, I know in my heart that You are proud. That You are proud of this young woman. And that You have destined her for great things. And so, Father, today as a body we stand with her to affirm that the old life is gone. And that the new life is full of a call and a destiny worthy of Your name, Lord. That the life ahead of her is meant to be a life worthy of the gospel. And Lord, that You are going to accomplish things that will resound for eternity through this life and through this woman. And so Lord, we join together in supporting her destiny and her call and her purpose today. And Father, we commit to stand with her and to walk with her. So Lord, we commit her to You. In Your name, Father, amen. So Deanna, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you today.
Just as the other candidates are coming out, obviously we realize it's a very full day. If you're here today and you think, oh, the roast is burning, I've got a Mother's Day supper. I mean, I don't want to keep you from that. So you won't be rude if you need to step out quietly. But there's way more candidates than we had expected. So we're just going to keep on baptizing people. And but I just want to say, well, If you need to go, then please just step out, because we're just going to keep carrying on.
Okay. I just want to throw you guys, there's room. If you want in, you can come in the hot tub. Just so you know. I know you have one at home and a business and all that stuff, but this is a great hot tub. You should start selling them like this. Anyway, so why don't you introduce yourself and just tell us where you're at.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jennifer Reger. I'm 17 years old, and I've been a Christian pretty much my whole life. And I love God a lot, and I've just been putting off getting baptized. So I think it's about time I get baptized.
This one makes me excited for my daughter. I'm excited for you guys. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay? Oh, once I get myself together. All right. So before all of us and your family today, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to your life, to all your problems, to sin?
Yes.
Okay. So we will join with you today in celebrating that and believing that his power is going to change your life. So do you believe that this power that he has given you in forgiveness of sins, but also from this day forward, to live your life for him?
Yes.
I ask the worst questions. I know. I'm sorry. Okay. It's just going to have to be like that for me from now on. Okay. So why don't you stand this way and cross your arms like this? Yeah. And I'll pray for you while you hold your arms there. Lord, we just commit Jennifer to you today. Actually, do you guys want to pray? I kind of feel like you guys maybe should do this prayer. Is that okay? Okay.
I'm Jennifer's mom. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. Jennifer's been wanting to do this for so long. We've been encouraging her. And today just seemed to be the perfect day. I just thank you that she has decided to follow you. She loves you so much. Spent so much time in prayer and her reading your book and your word. I just pray that you will bless her and her life, that you will constantly pull her closer to you, and that we as a family together will be there just to serve you, that will be our ultimate goal together. I thank you for today. Amen.
So Father, we join with this family today. Lord, that from this day forward that you would just fill her overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give her the power and the equipment and the tools to walk a life of intimacy and righteousness before you, Lord. That you have not called us to be holy without the tools to do it. Father, completely fill her overflowing today, that she would walk and know the difference of walking in your Spirit compared to the old life. We commit this old life to death and rejoice in sharing in your resurrection for the future. So Father, in your name, we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hi. How's it going? Good. Let's wait for your family to get up here. Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone and just share your story and where you're at right now.
My name is Holly. I'm 15 years old. I turned 15 today, actually. And it's been really hard for me because my mom died a while ago. And today's Mother's Day. So, yeah. And I've been a Christian pretty much all my life. And I got really serious about 2 years ago when I went to ENR, so, yeah. And, that's pretty much it, I guess. For those that know me, they know that I'm absolutely terrible at public speaking, so I'm sweating and shaking uncontrollably, but you won't notice in about 2 minutes. And, I actually wanted to get baptized last week, but I didn't really have the courage to go up. So, I came into church this morning and I wanted to, get baptized today. And I was thinking like, well, they did it last week. I'm gonna be okay. I don't have to do it today. They were talking and I was like, and I promised God, I said, okay, I'll do it. If, there's baptism today, I'll just go up and I'll do it like Jody and Alex did. Yeah, so I promised him and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then about 1 minute later, like 2 seconds after I said that in my heart, one of the pastors was like, yeah, after the baptisms today, and I was like, oh, frick. And I swear God set me up. I swear it. So yeah, here I am.
Okay.
Thanks, Holly.
Yeah. Maybe just a little word. Holly has become a good friend over this last year. I've been working more with the youth since autumn, since Drew went to Scotland. And I was on the way to a youth group one night, and I felt the Lord told me, I'm gonna open your eyes to see some qualities in someone tonight. And it was Holly. And just during that night, he just opened my eyes, and here's some of the great and amazing things in her. And since that night, in fact, that night I began to share some of those, and she's pretty squeamish about saying anything complimentary over her. But it's been she's become a good little friend ever since, and it brings me a lot of joy to see this today.
I thought I'd ask your dad to pray for you. And then I'll ask you the questions.
Holy Spirit, thank you for this time that Holly has made this decision to get baptized, Holy Spirit. I ask that you have your hand on her life, Holy Spirit, and guide her in the ways that she needs to go, and be with her always, and fill her with your spirit and your love and your joy and your kindness. May she know you all the days of her life, Father, and guide her in her life, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Holly, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Heck yeah.
Do you believe that he rose again to remedy that problem?
Yep.
Okay. And do you accept today all the benefits that come with that in this new life?
Yep.
Okay. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you today. You're missing out on the wet hugs. You gotta get in there.
Is there anyone else in there?
Is there anyone else? Nope. Okay. The room's empty, so it looks like we're going to you now. Okay. Just one last opportunity. If you feel the Lord stirring your heart, you can feel free to come forward. Going once. Oh.
Well, this is Ariane, one of our six children. All our older ones have been baptized, and we want to thank the Lord that this short span of Ariane's 10 years that he's brought her to a point in his love that she recognizes she wants to be baptized. She's actually been inquiring about it for over a year now. And last week we missed our opportunity, and so we went and got her today, and then she was a little scared and hesitant, but we know it's something that she really wants to do. She's shy. She's only 10. She doesn't want to speak too much, but a really interesting quality that the Lord has put into Ariane's life is that she's quite the evangelist, bringing God with her in her daily play with her friends to her school, as well as bringing her school friends here. There's been a number of different families whose children whose families don't regularly attend church, and whose children haven't necessarily even heard of the love of Jesus or the Word of God. And Ariane has been doing her part in our community of Colwood to introduce them to God. So we just think that this is a really special thing for Ariane and a further step to bringing her closer to the Lord.
So Ariane, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And do you believe that he rose again? Good. Okay. Well, you're gonna get to experience all the benefits of that. Okay? After your baptism. So what it means when you get baptized, it means that the old Ariane that wanted to do all those bad things, and you know how sometimes you feel like you want to do a bad thing, but you know you shouldn't? That's the old area. Okay, so when you go under the water, it just means that you're leaving that old area behind and that God can take you and turn you into just a wonderful area that he planned and made you to be. Okay? Okay, so just cross your arms. So Ariane, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hello? We'll pray for Ariane real quick while you're nice and wet. Sorry, guys. Okay. So, Lord, we just want to commit Ariane to you today. Lord, we're so proud of the decision she's made. And she is just a wonderful example of just amazing kids that serve you. So, Lord, we commit the rest of her life to you, that she would continue to grow in understanding of what this means for her life, and that she would always remember you and remember this day. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Sorry, I'm on mute. We're going to have to... So, there's a suggestion box somewhere. Please send them to us because, let's dream together a little bit as a church family. Just spend the next few weeks dreaming. And that is, what do you do if you've got to baptize a dozen people a week? I love great problems like that. Like, we've been asking, what do we do? We're outgrowing. Who cares? But I mean, we're in it together. And so let's prayerfully saying, how do you do church if you got 20 to 30 people you baptize them? We're not even in the beginning stages of a harvest. And how does it affect our lives? And what might God need of us, each of us, in order to serve a harvest well? Do you know when farmers get to harvest season? I'll tell you what, there's nothing on their heart but harvest. Everything is put aside because it's time. And they've had their times of rest and their times of preparation. It's time. And they give themselves to it. And it's obviously the funnest time of the year. And so as a church, we just need to have these things on our mind. And we don't have to have all the answers to it, but let's discover them together. Keep the water hot. I think, pardon? Cold lake? Yeah. We may have to. We may have to. The weather will be warm enough. We may have to do this at the lake.
Come on out. So why don't you introduce yourself to us? I told you it was hot. I wasn't kidding. Why don't you introduce yourself to us and just tell us where you're at, okay? Are you comfortable with that? Good.
I'm not waiting for you to say no.
Oh, hi. I'm a student here. My name is Gladys. I see it way over there. And the reason I decided to get baptized today is because, okay, there's some things that God has been doing in my life, but for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been like, God, I don't know if I can be able to do this. I lost my mom a few like 5 years ago. And when I started coming here, I think the first sermon the guy was preaching was about dealing with your grief and everything. And the Sunday before that, I was coming to church and my friend Sharon was asking me, how are your parents and all that? And I lied to her. I was like, oh, my mom is okay. My parents are okay. So, and I brushed that off. And so when I started coming here, God started talking to me about that. Like, I shouldn't let that go. I want to use you, but you have so much pain. But I was like, God, I don't know if I want to talk to you right now. I'm so hurting. It's been 5 years, but it kind of pains me. And I'm like, God, why did you take my mom? Why all that? And I'm the firstborn. So I was like, every time I'm like, God, I don't know if I can be able to do this. I don't know what I can do, but I want the pain. I just want to know how it means to be free and to let go of the pain and just to know, just to tell God, take me and just use me as I am. And so I talked to one guy and he said, I have to come for the baptism class, and I did, but I wasn't ready to let go of my pain. And almost 3 weeks ago, I remember going home and crying so much because I was like, God, I miss my mom so hard. And
And today when I came to church, I didn't want to come to church today because I was naked. It's Mother Day. I can't even call my mom. I can't even talk to her. But God was like, I'm there with you. I have... And if you can just let go and just let go and let me come through for you, I'll be there for you. And I sat there and it's like, I think I want to go get baptized, but I was like, no, I don't think I want. And so I was like, I shouldn't let go of my fear and just tell God to take control. And that's what I want. I wanna just be free. I wanna let go of the pain and just live for God. Yeah, that's all.
Stella is like a spiritual mom to a lot of these girls. Stella, we love you. I know how important you are in the life of so many of them. Would you pray for her?
Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for this beautiful girl. And thank you for the life you have for her. Thank you for what you have in store for her. Lord, we know that you are closer to the brokenhearted. So we at this time commit her into your hands. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you take full possession of her whole being. That from today onwards will be, you do something new in her life. You bring a change. And Father, take away this pain, Lord. As she goes into this water, Lord, we pray that the pain, the heartache will be washed away. That you fill her with your joy and your peace. Father, take possession of her life and use her to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
So do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he rose again for you?
Yes, I do.
And do you believe that he will bring peace and healing to your life?
Yes, I do.
Amen. So why don't you just cross your arms like this? Lord, we just commit her to you right now. Father, that she would feel the power of the Holy Spirit begin to bring healing and restoration to the pain in our heart, Lord. We commit her to you and trust you to walk her through this life and to know your intimacy and power, Lord. So we baptize her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Well, any others? I know that the services went longer than we expect, but hey, when you're having this much fun. I mean, three of these girls got baptized on Mother's Day out of mothering issues. Who would have known? Okay. Are you coming baptized? No, okay. Just checking. Okay, so I'm a little over enthusiastic. Let's pray. Let's just close. Is there one more? Come on. Yeah. Family, better come join her.
Happy Mother's Day. Make sure. Okay. Why don't you share with us a little bit where you're at?
Are you okay with that? Hi, I'm Alana Reger. I'm 13 years old. My sister just got baptized, and we've been wanting to do it together for like a really long time, but we've both not really had the courage to do it. But now seeing her getting baptized kind of encourages me that I should do it because it's the right time. So.
Can I pray again?
Lord Jesus, I just want to express our thank you. This is Alana, and now she's getting baptized as well. Thank you that she wants to follow you, and she's making a public statement today. Bless her and guide her day to day, in school, at home, with her chores, and especially in growing in you, opening the word and reading and praying. We thank you so much. Thank you for your spirit. Amen.
Okay, Lana, we're asking you a couple questions, okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that he rose again for you?
Yes, I do.
And do you receive today all the benefits of those, of his death and his resurrection? That's a good answer. Okay. So Lord, we commit it to you today. Father, believing to see you at work in her life for the rest of her life that she is on this earth. Lord, we commit to walk with her as a body, to stand with this family in their pursuit of you, Lord. And so, Father, I just ask a special blessing on her today and where she goes from here. So we baptize her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
For whatever the Lord has for us, that's all. You, your family, your friends, your business. Say, how does everything that we have and everything that we are serve his purposes and glorify him? How does everything we are and everything we have serve the purpose of the gospel? Let's just take a moment. And we'll just ask the Lord a few questions like, Lord, what would you have us do? Lord, how do we prepare well? Lord, how do our whole families, even our children, become involved in a gospel thrust? How do our kids feel the excitement and involvement? Lord, you're the Lord of the harvest. What way do you want to sharpen me so I'm a useful sickle? And just one last thought. When we had our first baby, we hadn't had children before, and the number of people that said, oh yeah, this is going to wreck your life. This is going to turn your schedule upside down. This is going to change the way your house... I was thinking, come on. What kind of child do you think we're going to have? It's not my child. I underestimated how much having children was going to affect my home. When God is in a state where he's bringing about new births, yeah, it'll change our whole home. But it's all worth it. And so, Father, whatever the changes are that are requisite, in order to see new births, we just say we're willing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Ladies, make sure you get a flower on the way out. And see many of you at Global Day of Prayer tonight. Amen.